This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. All week, there have been protests and counter-protests around Milwaukee on the issue of abortion. Today, we're getting perspectives from both sides of the issue. Just ahead, we'll hear from Heather Weiniger, the executive director of Wisconsin Right to Life. But first, we'll hear from Liz Winstead. She's a political satirist and the co-creator and former head writer of The Daily Show. She's also the co-host of Unfiltered, Air America Radio's mid-morning show with Chuck D and Rachel Maddow. In 2015, she founded Abortion Access Front, which is an abortion rights advocacy group who, quote, uses humor and outrage to expose anti-choice hypocrisy and mobilizes people to take action in all 50 states, unquote. Winstead and Abortion Access Front are in town this week, and she stopped by the Lake Effect studio to explain her group's mission to WUWM's Mayan Silver.
Oftentimes, we sit and say, how is it that these laws keep happening all over the country? And our answer is because we haven't been paying attention to the influencers who are pushing these laws and how they help get politicians elected, especially in state and local government, because that's where most of these laws are coming from. So it's to help folks learn, pay attention to these people. Tell your politicians, this is not the message that our community supports, and this is not what we want our state to be.
So who do you think a group like Operation Save America appeals to versus who your group appeals to?
It seems that they appeal to people who are biblical literalists. They actually give massive public rallies to say there are laws in the United States that you are not required to follow because they are not the laws of God. And so they're giving instruction to people to say, they wear shirts that say ignore Roe. That means ignore Roe v. Wade and all of its tenets. So I think that they are appealing to the same folks that we see other white nationalists appeal to. When you are coming after, you know, undocumented immigrants, Muslims, LGBTQ people, it's the same people who are marching in Charlottesville. It's the same people who are marching in Dayton, except they lead with abortion and then follow up with these other issues. And so a lot of people will, sadly, and it's been a real struggle with people who are in a movement to protect abortion rights, people are like, oh, that's a women's issue. You know, how come you women aren't fighting for that? And it's like, how come you're not fighting with us? Because it's the same group of people who are trying to keep this white supremacist mindset in place. Our group, we're trying to appeal to folks who fundamentally understand that abortion rights are under attack, but haven't been able to connect the dots or feel empowered as to what to do about it. And also progressive folks who haven't really understood the connections and the intersections between these other white supremacist narratives that have been upset, that have made people upset and angry, and bring them together so that we can all fight together so that people who feel marginalized have support, and we don't allow that to become the country that we live in.
Have you seen the clear reflection that these Operation Save America people are white nationalists, that they are doing these other actions, that they would fit into that category?
I have. When you see somebody burning a Quran outside of a mosque, when you see somebody saying LGBTQ people are destroying our children and destroying our families, when you see people say, either convert if you are gay or you should be incarcerated. There's videos. If you just Google Operation Save America Leadership, there's videos of them out there saying it. You don't have to listen to me. You can watch it, right? And so when they say feminists are destroying America, when they say the biblical reality is that the man runs the household and the women are subservient to the man's rule, that is white supremacy.
Do you see the connection between that and more mainstream conservative values and actions, like the legislation you've been talking about that's been happening around the country? For instance, in looking into the story, our local Wisconsin Right to Life organization said that they do not condone the actions of the Operation Save America and they have no further comments.
Right. I think that when Right to Life organizations are trying to, they have infighting, and it's interesting, within their own tactics and how they do it. At the end of the day, no matter if your organization is going through the legislature in one way or going through the legislature in a different route, if the message is we believe that people with uteruses shouldn't have control over what happens in that uterus, I'm not particularly interested in the avenue with which you got to be an influencer. I'm interested in not having that be a mindset that we are okay with.
Why do you think they chose Milwaukee?
I think they chose Milwaukee. I think they look at Wisconsin as, you know, your legislature, you have, yes, a Democratic governor, but I think you have a 5-majority Republican seat in your Senate and a pretty big majority of Republicans in your state house. And I think they see an opportunity that started with Scott Walker, although they complain that Scott Walker didn't go far enough. But I look at somebody who says a 72-hour waiting ban, transvaginal ultrasounds, you know, the laws that we're trying to push under Scott Walker, a lot of those legislators are still in place. So I think they see it as an opportunity. Also, two of their main leadership live in Milwaukee. So there was host and invitation there. So they'll be going to Madison also. And I know that they have a lobby day.
So what's your take on where Wisconsin fits in the national picture now?
I think the national picture right now, I think we talk about Georgia and Alabama so much. But when 16 states have proposed or passed a 6-week abortion ban, thank God none of those laws have taken effect and they've been challenged in the courts. Oregon's the only state that has not passed some kind of curb to Roe v. Wade. So this is a trend that's happening in states, and I think we need to pay attention to what's happening. I would say, you know, Wisconsin is a place that is vulnerable because of you have some virulently anti-abortion people that hold office there and who are determined to strip that right away from the citizens of Wisconsin.
So how would you gauge women's access right now to abortion care and ways to maintain that access?
In Wisconsin or in general?
In general.
Okay. In general, I would say as we are trying to, a lot of people are looking towards 2020 as a larger picture, and we have to, but there's many things that people need to do when they can. And when we're talking about, first, you have to be supporting the clinics in your community any way you can because they're under siege. You only have 3 providers in your state, 1 in Madison, 2 in Milwaukee, to serve your entire state. So how are you making sure that those clinics have self-care, that they can stay open? How are you paying attention to what's happening in your state legislatures? Because when you don't have control of the person who puts judges on a federal bench, the one thing you do have locally in all 50 states is a lot of control over how your state ledge switches out. Your governors, you know, when you have a governor who is hostile towards reproductive rights, that governor gets to appoint a health department and a health commission, depending on what kind of state you have, that can impose regulations that don't have to go through a legislature. So things that you didn't even vote on, as we just watched in Missouri, they had a state health commissioner come in and decide that women need a second vaginal ultrasound for no reason, as an undue burden on the person accessing care, right? So those kind of things happen a lot. So really paying attention to what's happening locally, making sure you can secure state and local government that is going to protect, you know, the laws of your state, reverse some of this stuff. And another thing that a lot of states that's been happening is when Roe v. Wade got enacted, a lot of states had discriminatory laws that they didn't get rid of because Roe said these laws are no longer legal. So states are realizing that, oh my gosh, in some states it's you still have to have your husband's permission, for example, to access abortion care. If Roe v. Wade for some reason gets overturned and you don't get those laws off your books, those laws go back into effect. And there are 7 states now that have something called a trigger law where if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, abortion is just banned in those states. So it's things like that people, I think, need to take a breath, take stock, and see what's happening in your state because that's where you can protect yourself right now.
Liz Winstead is a political satirist and the founder of Abortion Access Front. The group is putting on a series of performances this week around town. There is a link to dates, places, and times at WUWM.com. She spoke with WUWM's Mayon Silver.